God. This is going to be another sermon in the series on our identity statement. The last 2 weeks, we have discussed welcome. This week, we start to explore progressive Christian theology. Next week, we will skip ahead to caring within and serving beyond for Recognition Sunday. But for now, we're going to have some tough talk about goats. Please pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today, we've got three goats. We've got the unexpected goat, we've got the large goat in the room, and we've got the goat outside the pen. Are you with me? Okay, let's talk about some goats. But first, let's talk about this image of Jesus as the good shepherd, right? Because this is one of the fundamental texts for understanding who Jesus is, who Jesus was, and who Jesus will be. Because we have seen elsewhere, even in this liturgy today, in the reading of the 23rd Psalm, the idea of God as the shepherd, right? This is the image of God as the shepherd watching over all the flocks. Here Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, reminding us that Jesus is the incarnation of God on earth, or at least that Jesus is taking up this role of protecting the sheep in this place. And it's an interesting little passage because Jesus compares himself to the hired hands, right? And we can look at that, and we'll get into it in a second, who he might be talking about. But he separates out who are the hired hands and who is the shepherd by action. When the wolves come, the hired hands run away, but the good shepherd lies down and gives his life for the lambs. And so hold on to that part of this scripture. Because I, knowing it was Good Shepherd Sunday, and as we continue to explore ways to use graphic imagery in our church services, was searching for images of shepherds and of good shepherds among the various public domain and free-to-use databases in the world, and I came across this image. And then I showed it to some minister friends of mine, and they said, Nathan, I'm really a creative person, but what is going on with this image? And I said, okay, would it help to know that this is titled Shepherd with a Large Goat? And I was expecting images of male shepherds like Jesus. And I was imagining images of shepherds with sheep. And what I got instead was shepherd with a large goat. I said, this is perfect. Because sometimes, in what we call progressive Christian theology, what we used to call Christian theology, what we do is we search through the texts. And we search through the history of the ancient Near East, like we did during the Lenten Bible study. We search and we look for what was happening in the first century, and we compare it to what we see in our Bibles. And sometimes there are differences, right? Sometimes you look and say, well, I'm not sure that if we had a camera at that moment, it would have captured what we see in this Bible. We might be looking for a sheep. We might be looking for instance, after Jesus' birth, Jesus and his family fleeing into Egypt to escape Herod attacking all of the Hebrew children. We might be looking for that in history, but finding, no, this didn't really happen. So then we have an unexpected goat, where we expected a sheep. And we do this understanding that goats are part of God's creation too. That just because it is a goat does not mean it is not real and is not worthy of reverence. As Martha Jane pointed out, goats can be milked too. So in this image, where we have the woman shepherd, the female shepherd, with this great large goat. We are reminded that Christianity and the history of Christianity and the interplay between our text and history are messy. They don't always look the way we expect them to, right? But sometimes as we explore and we push ourselves, we keep on looking for sheep and finding goats, and then we learn how to love the goats too. And so we have the unexpected goats in the midst of our study and also in the midst of our love. Because sometimes we expect sheep in the church. We expect sheep who are docile, who stay in their pens. They don't raise sheep. That was a joke. Sheep never stay in their pens. We expect sheep to behave like sheep, to do the things we want, to eat the things that we want, and sometimes we get goats who are messy and smelly and eat things that we don't expect them to eat. And so in progressive Christian theology, we expect to find the unexpected and incorporate them into our midst. And this leads us into the second goat of our day, which is the large goat in the room. Imagine, if you will, there's a goat sitting over there. Don't look, imagine it's there. What Jesus' message here tells us is that sometimes there are things we struggle with that we don't want to say aloud. Sometimes there's a goat sitting over there, and we're talking, and we're singing, and we're praying, and our minds wander and say, well, maybe we should check on the goat. Let's check in with the goat. And we're not singing as loudly. We're not as present with God with one another. Because we're saying, but that goat is really close to the quilt. What if the goat gets the quilt? What's going to happen then? And Nathan, why is there a goat in the sanctuary? We're sometimes afraid to say that. Sometimes afraid to say, Nathan, what is the goat doing in the sanctuary? And that has consequences. Because the answer might well be for me, I don't know, let's hear what I got. Right? And so as we struggle with the unexpected goats that we find in our texts, we remember too that sometimes they lead us to find large goats hulking in the room and worrying us. And sometimes this means a struggle with our biblical texts. And the big one is, hey Nathan, if everything in the Bible maybe isn't literally true, what does that mean for our faith? That's a big struggle. I know many of us have learned to incorporate that question into our lives, but sometimes that comes up over and over again. And that's a big goat in the room. And sometimes it has to do with worship. There are questions. This thing is different. What's going on? Or this thing is boring. Why do we do this every week? And it's there on us, worrying us, and keeping us from being one as a church. And so as we look through the text for things that cause us to doubt and to question and to especially worry, one of the things we need to do is to point out the goat in the room and address the goat in the room and deal with the goat in the room and maybe eat the goat in the room and then move on. Because sometimes, too, that goat in the room is the goat that's not in the room. Because this is a room in which we do lots of wonderful things. It's a room in which we commune with one another. It's a room in which we lift up songs of prayer to God. But sometimes when we are in here, we feel like what we're doing here does not relate to what we do outside of the doors. So sometimes that goat is the missing goat. Is there are goats I see all around us, Nathan. Why aren't we talking about them in this room? What is the trouble that we have every week? What is the pain that we feel? What are the joys that we feel in this world of ours? And why aren't they present in this room? And so part of what we do, or what we try to do, is to look at history, to look at the truths that were,
and see how they are the truths that are.
And this is a great passage for talking about that as we get into the goat outside the pen. Because we know God is the good shepherd. And we know in the 23rd Psalm that God is the shepherd of the people. But we also know a little bit about the Psalms, and a little bit about who wrote the Psalms. And we have this wonderful line in the 23rd Psalm, that God sets a table for us in the presence of my enemies. And this is a message, and we know this about the Psalms. A lot of these Psalms are written as part of mourning and processing things that happened in ancient Israel. So when we're talking about enemies, we're talking about people. We're talking about Canaanites and other people who came and destroyed Israel and who were threats to ancient Israel. This was a prayer to say, we are a people of Israel and God watches over us. But Jesus takes up that prayer, takes up the idea of the pastures, and says, no, there are more sheep. There are sheep outside of this pen that are ours too. There are sheep outside of this pen that need to be protected from wolves. Right? Jesus looks at the truth that was and says, there is a greater truth here. I will take this image and see it was true then, but now I look around and say, this is not a God of one country. This is a God for all people. And so we know that Jesus is talking about here, in that time, to his disciples, in that moment, the difference between Christianity as a movement for Jews in Israel and Christianity as a global religion, one God for all people. But for us, we're in a different context yet again. Another 2,000 years has passed since Jesus said these words. Another 2,000 years has passed, and we've found still yet more sheep. And so we've had in this country years and years and years of having a dominant Christian culture. It's a different thing than Jesus was praying in and preaching in. And so we have to look a little bit harder to find who are the sheep outside the pen, and when we find them, are they really goats? Which is to say, in this world, as we explore progressive Christian theology, we do it with an eye to the people who are in pain, to the people who are suffering, to the people who are excluded from our feasts. We search always for those who do not know the love of God, and not in the simple way of being Christians, but those who feel unloved within the church and without. These people who live outside the pen of a shepherd's care, who may have no one to look out for them. These people who may feel broken because they think in this country they are not welcome, whether it is black people in Baltimore, whether it is gay people in Indiana, whether it is people without enough money or food here in Ankeny. It is people who are suffering, and it is people that we must seek out and understand how they are our shepherd, our watch too. How we are the shepherds to take care of them, and not, as the hired hands, leave them for the wolves that they see around them, but come and watch out for them and protect them in this world. And that is part of exploring progressive Christian theology too. Looking at everything through that hermeneutic of love, saying, where is God's love in this place? How can we show God's love and the job that we have to watch over people that Jesus charged us with? How are we different from the hired hands who run away in the face of the wolves? And so this image of a goat, which comes in the foreground with a fish, which is the thing that made me say, no, this image is a message, Nathan. This image with the unexpected shepherd and the unexpected goat and the unexpected person doing whatever they are doing in the background, I have no idea. And this fish, so ubiquitous as a sign of Jesus in Christianity, is a message to us to find love for one another. For I will remind all of you of something that I didn't learn until I read a children's book a few years ago.
that in Nazi Germany, there was a move to ban all of these so-called degenerate artists, all the people who did not favor classic painting and classic imagery. And it turns out our friend Heinrich Campendonk was one of those people. This image was one of his degenerate images for which he was banned in Germany. He lived out the rest of his days in the Netherlands. And it is a reminder to me that as we have this image, I don't know what it meant to him, just like I don't know fully what Jesus' words meant to his hearers. I don't know what it meant to Heinrich. I don't know what it meant 10 years after him. I don't know what it meant 30 years after him. But what I know is that as we search through this image, as we search through his own life story, as we search through all of the things that came to him, it has meaning for us now. And this is what we do in this church, is to look at the Bible and say, this may not have happened that way, but it's true, and it remains true for us today. Maybe not in the same way it did 2,000 years ago, but it remains true for us today. As true as in our own lives, whenever we search for sheep, we seem to find goats. Amen.